My dear friends in Christ, grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Does the name Edward Mote ring a bell? Edward Mote. That's what I thought. Probably not. We'll go back to Mr. Mote in a minute. As a preacher, there's some texts of God's holy word that just simply beg to be preached. And there are also some texts that, well, at least from my limited perspective, beg to be ignored from the pulpit. And the reading assigned for today from Hebrews, unfortunately, sadly, falls into the latter category. Hebrews chapter 6, verses 13 to 20 is a mass of entangled clauses in the Greek knotted together to make a point that is quite easily lost upon the reader. To illustrate, can you even remember what the reading was about? I thought so. Something about an oath, a promise, and a hope that's an anchor for the soul. It's at this point that Mr. Mote can provide us with some assistance. Edward Mote was born January 21st, 1797, of very poor, ungodly parents, and born in London, England. His parents were innkeepers. Mote himself said of his own youth, "My Sundays were spent in the streets. So ignorant was I that I did not know that there was a God." He further stated that the school he attended did not even allow a Bible to be seen, much less taught. As a youth, Mote was apprenticed to a cabinet maker, but when he was 16, his master took him to hear the esteemed preacher John Hyatt, and there young Edward was converted to Christ. He settled in Southwark, a suburb of London, where he became known as a successful cabinet maker and devoted churchman. At the age of 55, Edward Mote realized a lifelong dream. Largely through his personal efforts, a building for a Baptist congregation was built in the village of Horsham, Sussex, England. The church members, out of gratitude to Mote, offered him the deed to the property. He refused their offer, saying, "I do not want the chapel, I only want the pulpit, and when I cease to preach Christ, then turn me out of that." Thereupon, he became the pastor of that Baptist church and ministered faithfully for the next 21 years. While he was still a cabinet maker in 1834, he wrote the text to a hymn which he titled, "The Gracious Experience of a Christian." The second verse of the hymn reads as follows: "When darkness veils his lovely face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand." Yes, Edward Mote, cabinet maker turned Baptist preacher, is the author of the hymn "On Christ the Solid Rock I Stand," number 370 in the old Lutheran hymnal, demonstrating that even Baptists can make significant contributions to global Christianity. "In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil." In those simple lines, I think that Edward Mote captured the essence of what is otherwise an inscrutable text. Hebrews chapter 6 in its entirety is an encouragement to us as Christians to diligently persevere in the gospel hope until we draw our final breath on this earth. "Be imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises," the author of Hebrews enjoins us in verse 12. He then offers the example of Abraham. God made a promise to Abraham, and Abraham, after patiently enduring through his time on earth, died in faith and inherited the promise. The promise that God made, our text continues, was sealed with an oath. Normally, when people make an oath, they swear by one higher than themselves. We raise the hand, we place it on the Bible, swearing before God. But since no one is higher than God, God himself swore by himself. And since it's impossible to lie, those two things confirm that it's absolutely certain that God will fulfill his promise to you and to me. And what is that promise? The promise is none other than your salvation. The certainty we have is that there is a salvation prepared for you, an eternal inheritance, a mansion that Christ has prepared for you, a room with a view, a place where they shall hunger no more, neither shall they thirst, neither shall the sun beat down on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb is in the center of the throne, and he shall be their shepherd and guide them to springs of the water of life, and God shall wipe every tear away from their eyes. That's the promise that's waiting for you, and it's waiting for me. But you see, there's a problem. The problem is that not everyone will inherit the promise. Earlier in the same chapter, chapter 6, in Hebrews, we are reminded that there are, quote, those who have tasted of the heavenly gift and have been made partakers of the Holy Spirit and tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come and then have fallen away. Losing your faith is a very real danger. Just this week, I heard from a colleague in the ministry that one of his children, a child who had been raised by faithful and loving Christian parents, this child, now an adult, claims that she is no longer a Christian. As a parent, three of my own children are currently attending the university, the time when people traditionally lose their faith. And my wife and I pray that they will stay in the faith, holding firm to that promise to receive the inheritance. How many of you know people who were formerly Christians? Studies have showed that from a religious perspective, the most rapidly growing segment of our population are the, quote, de-churched. People who formerly considered themselves to be Christians, but no longer would number themselves among the saints. A great sadness of ministry is the list that you carry or that you will carry on your heart, the names of those who were your partners in the gospel, who tasted of the heavenly gift, who were partakers of the Holy Spirit, and who now, by what they say and by what we can see, are no longer Christians. And Hebrews reminds us that falling away from the faith is not just a danger for your children at college or your friends or your parishioners. Hebrews makes it clear that it's a danger for us as well. God's promise of salvation is made certain with an oath, according to our text, so that we may have strong encouragement. We need strong encouragement. It's rough out there. Christianity is increasingly becoming both a silent minority and a silenced minority. People have no time for Jesus. They've got no time for church. People fill their lives with all kinds of vain pursuits, from endless soccer practice to an endless preoccupation with money to a desire for free time, downtime, me time, vacation time. Rather than selling all they have to obtain the pearl of great price, people have sold the pearl for the glittering dust of fool's golds. From dust you are, and to dust you shall return. We enjoy our time here in the Ark of the Seminary. But when that time is done, we enter the ministry like a ship entering a stormy sea. And were it not for the anchor, the ship would be blown far off course. In stormy seas, the ship lets down the anchor. The anchor slips beneath the waves and disappears out of sight. But it does that so that it can lodge firmly in the bottom of the sea, providing a solid mooring that can withstand the wind and waves and weather. My Christian friends, we too have an anchor, which is our faith in Christ. And the anchor, says the author of Hebrews, is within the veil. This is the veil that covered the inner sanctuary of the temple, the Holy of Holies. And people must have wondered what was behind the veil. They knew the history. There's an Ark of the Covenant. There's Aaron's rod that budded. There's the tablets of the law. There's manna from the wilderness. But behind the veil, that's the place where the glory of God visited and dwelt. What was behind the veil? I'll tell you what was behind the veil. Christ was behind the veil. And when Jesus died for you and I, the veil of the temple was torn in two, indicating that our access to Jesus is no longer mediated through sacrifice and priestly offices, but it's available to all of us who have received the promise. Our anchor is behind the veil. As it says in verse 19, this hope we have is an anchor of the soul, a hope both sure and steadfast, and one which enters within the veil, where Jesus himself has entered. Our anchor is behind the veil. We're not anchored to the unseen bottom of the sea, but to the eternal Christ, who is unseen except by faith, yet who gathers us around the throne together with all those who have already received the promised inheritance, to feed us with his very body and blood and to wipe away every tear from our eyes. My friends, you cannot withstand the storms of ministry and the storms of life without being anchored to Christ. Feed on his word every day. Receive his body and his blood. Throw your anchor behind the veil. When darkness veils his lovely face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. His oath, his covenant, and blood support me in the whelming flood. When every earthly prop gives way, he then is all my hope and stay. On Christ, the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. Now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep our hearts and minds firmly anchored in the true faith until we too inherit the promise. In Jesus' name, amen.